Good morning, everyone. I'll just give you time to wrap it up. Today we are reading Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 17. You can find it in your leaflets. I'll give you a bit of time. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Thank you.
Thank you, Lachlan. Now, it's lots of fun being able to laugh with our dads at their expense a little bit, maybe. And dads are great and they are funny. But I think in society, at least if you're looking at TV, dads also have a tendency of being portrayed as a bit of an idiot, as a useless figure that is just there, or probably even not really there. But if you just indulge me for a moment, I just want to spend a little bit of time just talking. I'm just talking about why fathers are so important. And that's not what we're going to be talking about the whole time today. We will get into the passage, and there is a link between the two. But I think as we honour our fathers, the men who have played a pivotal role in shaping our lives, and they've been called to be more than just providers for us. They're leaders, protectors, spiritual guides, friends, confidants. And that is a high calling that does mirror elements of the very nature of God, our Heavenly Father. Research has time and time again shown just how big an impact dads can have on their kids. When a father is present in the life of his kid, they are more than twice as likely to finish school. And they're they're 80% less likely to end up in jail, 75% less likely to have a teenage pregnancy. It decreases their chance of using drugs, and it actually affects how their brain chemistry operates. And this is not just true of worldly measures. It seems to carry over into matters of faith. A study conducted in Switzerland found that if both parents were regular church attenders, 33% of children will grow up to be a regular church attender themselves. But if the father is irregular, that drops to 3%. Clearly, the presence of dads has a huge impact on the lives of their kids. But as we've already acknowledged, a present dad or a good dad is not a reality for all of us in this room, let alone beyond these walls. And in Romans 8, verses 14 to 17, we see that each one of us who calls on the Lord's name are his children. In these verses, Paul paints a beautiful picture of what it means to be led by the Spirit and to be adopted into God's family as sons and daughters. Not just a legal status of adoption, but a deeply relational experience, and one that transforms us from slaves of fear to heirs of God's promises. And so as we dive into this scripture, we will see how the relationship between God the Father and his children serves as a perfect model for us and for earthly fathers here. And we'll see how God's love, guidance, and discipline provide a framework for fatherhood that is both challenging and profoundly rewarding. So let's get started. The greatest promotion. Today's passage kicks off with verses 14 and 15, where it says, as Lachlan read for us, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Us, sinful, broken people, not even worthy to be in the presence of a holy God because of our sin, not even worthy to be his slave, but being enslaved to sin and fear, we have not just been granted a better master, not just been made God's slaves, but we have been declared to be his children. We have been adopted, deliberately chosen, and incorporated into God's family, despite all our sin, despite our inability to submit to his law, despite our inability to please God. He has declared us free, given us a new life, and he has called us his own. Now, in the Roman world, adoption was a significant and a transformative act. When a child was adopted, they were taken from a state of powerlessness and often hopelessness into a new family. And the word here is one of adoption into a full legal status of a full heir. It was a change of identity, a change of future, a change of destiny. With the child given full rights and privileges of an adult biological child. No longer were they slaves or outsiders, but they were now beloved sons and daughters with a secure place in the family. Paul uses this image to describe what happens when we come to faith in Christ. Before we knew Christ, we were slaves to sin, to fear, to burdens of this world. But through his Holy Spirit, we have been adopted into God's family. This is the greatest promotion you could ever receive. No longer slaves, but sons and daughters of the living God. It's even more dramatic than Bill Gates handing the keys to all of Microsoft to the janitor at Apple. The biggest rivals, total enemies, a slave of the enemy to your son, to your daughter. And the beautiful thing we see in this passage is that it's not just a legal matter, but there's an intense closeness, a real relational quality as we see of our ability to call him Abba, Father. Now, the word Abba does mean father, but it carries a deeper connotation, one of closeness and intimacy, trust and affection. It's more like calling God Daddy or Papa or whatever it might be in your household. This is not a distant and a cold father, but it's Dad. We've gone from this formal, oppressive relation of slavery to the warm, trusting, comforting one of a loving father. That is what God invites us into. And that's how he wants us to approach him. Not with fear and trepidation, not as slaves quivering at the knees before their master, but in confidence as beloved children, knowing that we are deeply loved and accepted. And so, as relationships in this life might not always look like we desire, as they might become strained or absent entirely, we can take comfort that we have a place we do belong. When we feel lonely and forgotten, when we feel like an outsider, we have been given a relationship with our Heavenly Father, the one who made us and knows us more intimately than anyone else. And as sons and daughters individually, we have been given each other. We've been given his body, the church, to belong to, a place to call home until we arrive home to our true home in the life to come. And so as God's church, we should be that warm, safe, welcoming landing space for all who walk through our doors, welcoming everyone with open arms, ready to experience just a glimmer of that relationship which is to come. But maybe you're here today, and I've been talking about this inheritance and this family and this adoption, and you're not sure whether this applies to you. You're not sure whether you are a child of God. Perhaps you've not made the decision to put your trust in Jesus, to receive this spirit of adoption we read about. But I want to assure you that this offer is open to you. This crazy promotion has been offered not because of what you've done, not because of your past, not because of who you are, where you come from, but it's been offered entirely because of what Jesus did, because of who Jesus is. And so all who call on the name of Jesus, who accept him as their Lord, are welcomed as God's children. A relationship of eternal security, which can only be found in him, the greatest Father. If you'd like to know more about this Jesus or what it means to call him your Father, I'd love nothing more than spending the rest of Father's Day talking to you about it, but we can also make a different time. But feel free to come grab me after the service today, or anyone else you've seen up here for that matter. We'd love to talk to you about why we think this is an offer, a promotion which is far too good to refuse. And so having been given this great promotion, we are now to live as his children. In Romans 8, verse 17, Paul says, "Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." Paul emphasizes here the incredible inheritance we have as God's children. But he also reminds us that living as his children comes both with privileges and with responsibilities. When Paul talks about us being heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, he is pointing to that profound reality that as God's adopted children, we share in the same inheritance Jesus himself will receive. Now, this is not a material inheritance, but it's something far, far greater. It's eternal life, peace with God, sharing in Christ's glory. To be an heir is to have a future filled with hope. It's the assurance that no matter what we face in this life, we are destined to a glorious eternity with our Heavenly Father. But Paul doesn't sugarcoat things. No, he says that in order to share in Christ's glory, we must also share in his sufferings. This doesn't mean we have to seek out suffering like a masochist or a martyr, but it does mean that living as God's children in a fallen world so often comes with challenges, trials, and sacrifices. George is in many ways an ordinary 11-year-old boy. He loves soccer. He loves playing outside with his siblings. And he even likes trying his hand at cooking. But George is also not an ordinary 11-year-old boy. From the moment he was born, he stood to inherit somewhere in the realm of $15 billion and the British throne. Prince George did nothing to earn this inheritance. He didn't work for it. He didn't strive for it. He didn't choose it. His royal status was given to him purely by his birthright, simply because of who his parents are. Yet this unearned identity, this reality he didn't work for, profoundly affects how he lives each and every day. Even at a young age, his life looked drastically different from the children in this room. There were responsibilities and expectations placed on him, a way to behave in public, a strain of education that's different to ours. It affected every aspect of his life. And in some ways, that is similar to us, similar to those who are now adopted into God's family. We inherit an incredible identity as children of God, not because of anything we've done, but purely by God's grace. And just like Prince George's reality now, our inheritance too transforms the way we live today. It changes everything. Knowing that we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, it affects our priorities. It affects our behavior. It affects our understanding of who we are. It is an unearned gift, but one that carries with it a call to live in a way that reflects our identity as God's children. Being adopted into his family changes everything. Our identity is no longer rooted in the things of this world, not in our job, not in our status, not in our biological family, but in the fact that we are God's sons and daughters. That identity should shape every aspect of our lives, how we relate to others, how we make decisions, how we handle challenges. We are called to live like God's children, modeling Christ-like behavior in our home, in our workplace, behind the steering wheel, and even in private. And as I alluded to in the introduction today, for fathers particularly, one of the most powerful things you can do for your children is to live as a child of God in front of them. Now, this is not saying that you need to be perfect, but you need to be real and sincere. Showing your children what it looks like to depend on God, to seek forgiveness when you fall short, and to walk in faith even when it is tough. As you live out your identity as a child of God, you are giving your children a tangible example of what it means to belong to God's family. And so I want to encourage the dads here to do that, to be regular in attendance to church, to not be dragged along by the family, but to lead an example. And to read the Bible with your kids, to pray with your kids, to model to them what it means to know and to love our Heavenly Father. But this is not just a thing for dads, right? This is what all of us are to do. We are all God's children. We are all called to this. And whilst I said at the start that having a dad that's biological, that's present, has advantages statistically, if that's not the case for you or for your children, I don't want you to leave here today feeling discouraged and dismayed. Because you and your kids have a Heavenly Father that is far greater than any earthly father ever could be. And a father who can overcome the absence of a biological father in the lives of your family. Living as God's children means for us to both embrace the blessings and the promise of what is to come, but also to be willing to count the cost, to do the hard yards, to lay down your own priorities and sacrifices for the sake of others and for the sake of God. As we try to reflect our Heavenly Father's love, his grace, to those around us, in our home or beyond. And by doing so, we not only live out our identity as his heirs, but also his children. So as we honor our earthly fathers today, let us also spend time to reflect on the ultimate Father, who has given us his Spirit, who has adopted us into his family, who calls us his own. May we, as fathers and as God's children, aspire to reflect his character in every aspect of our lives. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can approach you with confidence, knowing you are our dad. God, we pray that you would help us to really know that truth. And regardless of what our family looks like here in front of us on earth, that we know that ultimately, primarily, firstly and foremostly, we belong to you and your family. And that is the greatest gift we could ever hope for, the greatest promotion, the most undeserved thing. And God, we pray that we would not just count the blessings that come with that, but that we would also live in this life as your children, that we would be transformed and empowered by your Spirit to do that. And we thank you for this great truth on this Father's Day. Amen.